Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I am John Ramos, here to encourage you, as well as Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, and Steve Kalishewski.
Good day, sir.
The good day is back.
Good day, Pat.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
There you go. We want to welcome all of those on the Gulf Coast, CTN, and of course, all of those that are viewing and listening all across the nation and the world. Don't forget, we are two programs back-to-back, Monday through Friday, and of course, you can always find as much information as you want on VFNTV.com, and we love hearing from you. We're hearing from you on a daily basis. And we love to see the encouragement that you're passing along and sharing with others. Of course, we want to encourage you to visit our sponsors. These are our businesses and that are standing for God, country, and Israel. And you want to go and support them. You know, they're doing a great work, and we're partnering together. Mm-hmm. And I think about, you know, Pensacola Auto Depot, Ward Simpson, and Sean Washington down there. I mean, if you were looking for a car, I mean, it's one of the biggest purchases that you're going to make probably outside of a home.
Right.
You know, there's so much stress a lot of times, oftentimes for people. It's a big decision. I can tell you that's a place that has no hassle, no gimmicks, and really it wasn't a problem. Mm-hmm. And you can say the same because you bought a car
yeah.
there too.
Yeah, it was a great experience. I mean,
no problem. And Greg can say the same because he bought a car there. So we all bought cars there. I want to encourage you, visit them today or go online, give them a call. And they'll be more than happy to help you out. But in today's program, we're going to be talking about the gospel of all and how God is the God of all. And that word, it's a small word, three-letter word, but what does that really mean? And what does God require of us? And we're going to just unpack that and talk about that some more. We're also going to be talking about how in Iran right now, there are Muslims that are tired of Islam, and they're asking, who is Jesus? They want to know, who is Jesus?
Wow, cool.
And it's so exciting. There is a Mohammed TV is being broadcast secretly now into Iran, and they're flipping in channels, even though it's being, you know, diverted and mm-hmm. scrambled. They're still listening, and they're calling up, and they're saying, tell me about this Jesus.
Wow.
So that is so, so encouraging. And we're going to share some testimonies and just really just get into this because that's what we want. We want the gospel, the light, you know, of the word of God to go all over the world. And we want people to have the opportunity really to know who Jesus is. That's what it all boils down to, is about mm-hmm. Jesus. You know, other people have made it about religion. They've made it about church, they made it about all these rules. Listen, it's about knowing him and him knowing you and a relationship with him. And once you have a relationship with the Lord, it will change your entire life. Mm-hmm. We're also going to be talking about, you know, a revival that's taken place in South Korea, which is amazing. And of course, we're going to be talking about some things that Steve is sharing, going to be sharing with us about talking about words and some things that the Lord has showed him in Rick Jordan's book, The Harvest. We're excited to be hearing about all of it, but we're going to get right to it, and we're going to be talking and just sharing about what's happening in Iran right now. Understand that Iran is an oppressive country. It is a country that does not really support Christians there. How do we know? Because we've reported about the two young ladies that distributed over 40,000 Bibles on backpack in Iran mm-hmm. in the dark, mm-hmm. and they were sent to Evin prison.
Wow.
One of the most notorious prisons. Their story is amazing. We're going to relate this for you in the torch, but these women were willing to stand in the face of great persecution. They were arrested. They were jailed. I mean, it was horrific what was done to them. And the testimony of one of the ladies there, Christian ladies, she says, the worst day, and I believe they were in prison for over a year. And she says, one of the worst day that I was in prison. Now, mind you, they're with the most, I mean,
evil, yeah,
evil people you can face. It's the most notorious prison in all of Iran. And she says, one of the worst days that I experienced is the day that I didn't feel the Lord's presence. That was my worst day. You know, you understand when Jesus is all that you have, mm-hmm. he's all that you have. And they made it out. They put a book together for their story, and they are encouraging Christians all over the world and, of course, in Iran. You know, why do we know that Iran is an oppressive place? Because of Pastor Saeed Abedini, who is still in prison, an American-Iranian pastor who is in Iran sharing about the gospel, has still been in prison well over a year, and there's been international calls for him to be released. His wife and Jay Sekulow with ACLJ,
right,
have been working extensively to do everything they can to get him removed. He's not getting medical treatment. We want to continue to pray for Pastor Saeed. But in the midst of great tragedy, in the midst of these atrocities, there's hope. There's hope because there are still, although it's a country that's oppressive towards Christians, there is a minority of Christians that are there, and there are people in Iran who are saying they are tired. They are tired of Islam, and they want to know, who is this Jesus? Mohabbat TV has been broadcasting there, and we want you to see firsthand what is happening, because this is going to encourage you. Watch this.
These are very busy and exciting times at Mohabbat TV as it carries out its mission of broadcasting Christianity into Iran.
We're seeing a huge, huge number of Iranians who are reaching out to our channel.
Mike Ansari oversees the popular channel. Since 2006, they've been beaming Christian programs via satellite to Middle East, Europe, and parts of Asia. But for Mohabbat's cast, crew, production, and office staff, their main focus is the Islamic nation of Iran.
Many of our viewers that are contacting us from Iran, they claim that Islam has not delivered to their expectations. So when they turn the channel on and see Mohabbat TV, they hear a new message of Jesus, of forgiveness, of love, of acceptance.
Nazanin Bahastani manages the phone call center operations for the channel.
Persians are really thirsty for the truth. They want to know that, who is this God that we talk about? Who is this Jesus? Is he real or is just a prophet?
To answer those and many other questions, the channel has deployed Farsi-speaking Christian counselors in different time zones around the world. Behastani says they take on average between 8,000 and 10,000 calls a month from Iranians.
That's when, you know, we open the subject, we preach the gospel, and so many give the heart. So many receive him.
But producing Christian programs for Iran is not without its challenges. You see, the bulk of Ansari's productions for the channel are done outside of Iran from multiple secret locations for safety and security reasons.
Our channel and our signals are getting jammed on a daily basis. It is true that the phone calls are being monitored, and people who try to contact us may get persecuted from time to time.
In June 2011, a Christian man's house got raided by Iranian authorities as he was on the phone with a Mohabbat counselor. This is an audio recording of the conversation between the phone counselor and a member of the Iranian secret police as he tells the story of what happened when he broke into the house. It has never been released to the public until now, exclusively on CBN News.
Has caused problems for others. I just arrested him again. I swear to God, I'll beat him up so much. I beat him so hard, he's almost dead. There's blood all over. I swear. I feel bad for him. You feel bad for him? Let him go. Who am I to set him free? Listen, lady, you guys have caused a lot of trouble for Iran's youth.
The young Christian man was reportedly killed shortly after the conversation. But Ansari says the threats are not stopping Iranians from watching the channel, which provides 24-hour Christian programming.
Remember, in Iran, there is no such a thing as a church, as you and I know, outside of Iran. So many Iranians who are curious, they find it easier, more private and more safe to be at home, at their own home, at the comfort of their home, watching the channel.
The official religion of Iran is Islam. Christians are officially less than half of 1% of the population, The overwhelming majority are Muslim. Christians are routinely imprisoned and labeled as threats to national security. Open Doors, a group that has served the persecuted church for decades, has ranked Iran number 9 on its list of 50 countries where persecution of Christians is most severe.
We have programming on a channel that is geared just towards that, to give them hope and encourage them. And yet tell them that, you know, persecution is definitely a part of a Christian's life. When you become a Christian and you reside in a country that is not predominantly Christian.
The United Nations says at least 49 Iranian Christians are being held in jails. Among them is American citizen and Christian pastor Saeed Abedini, who is serving an 8-year prison term for refusing to recant his faith.
We really don't want to see any of them jeopardized or being persecuted, so we always tell them to act with wisdom and be wise about their new faith and the way they approach others.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
The harsh treatment of Christians is reportedly fueling the flames of church growth.
We're seeing a new season right now. There are so many people who are reaching out on their own accounts. It seems that they're not afraid. They just want to reach out and go beyond any kind of authority or limitation that may exist locally for them to just connect to somebody that they could relate to.
Ansari, a native of Iran, is encouraging Christians worldwide to pray for Iran, especially now as they and millions of Muslims observe the holy month of Ramadan.
Our goal is just to be out there and just tell them that there is another choice. You know, the Prophet Jesus, whom they know very well through Islam, he's more than a prophet, that believing in him can bring a sense of hope.
George Thomas, CBN News.
Amazing. How encouraging is that Mojave TV is broadcasting into Iran? But listen, it's not just the Mojave TV. We have viewers and people that are connecting with VFN TV in Iran, and we're excited and encouraged to know. I mean, they're receiving 800 to 1,000 calls per day, and many of them are coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you. Listen, if you're praying to go into the mission field, go to Iran. Go to the Middle East. This is the 1040 window, they say, that is so hard, that has been hard to penetrate with the gospel. This is what we need to be doing. This is where we need to be going. And this is so amazing.
Wow.
800 to 1,000 calls
Beautiful.
A day. And it goes to underscore the importance today of media and you know, one reason God's called us here, VFN TV, to broadcast and to make sure that the gospel, the light, is getting to everyone all across the world. Because as you just heard in that segment, Iranians don't have the opportunity to go to and gather in public houses of worship like many Christians and believers are able to do in the West. They do it, you know, at home, undercover. Many of them are being persecuted. They've torched other, you know, places of gathering, houses of worship before. And so they have it broadcast in their own home, and they're making radical decisions to serve God. I want to encourage you to pray. When you think about Muslims, when you think about people in the Middle East, don't assume that they're all Muslims. Don't assume that they don't want to hear about Jesus. They do. And if you live in a community where there is a Muslim population, I have the opportunity to reach out to them. I think about Dr. Ergun Kenner, who was grew up in Islam here in the United States, and a young boy in school continued to witness and to talk to him about Jesus and challenge them to come to a church gathering. And it was there that he came into the revelation of who Jesus was, and has changed his life forever. And now he's teaching people all over the world, and particularly Muslims, about the truth about Jesus. We want to encourage you. Let's share the gospel all over the Middle East, and let's see more folks that used to serve Islam and Allah come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The Holy Spirit said to tell the people that he has not overlooked your faithfulness. And the Holy Spirit said to tell the people, he's going to let you reap where you did not sow.
We have so many things at our disposal. There's no reason whatsoever why we should not be greatly successful. There is times in your life and will be times in your life that God will give you a promise, and after he gives you the promise, things will get worse and you'll say, God, I don't understand, but give it some time. There's a precedence in scripture. It will get better. You don't know when. You don't know how, but it will get better. Do what you're supposed to do. Obey. Stay in faith. Don't get in doubt and unbelief. When the devil starts really heaping it on, when the devil starts screaming in your ear, it's a dead giveaway. God is about to release you from that burden. There's a harvest at hand.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. If you want your husband to do something differently, Dr. Gary Chapman offers this suggested script for a conversation with your man.
I've been thinking about how I'd like to be a better wife, and I'm asking you to tell me one thing that I could do or stop doing that would make life better for you. If he really feels she's serious, he will. And if he sees her do that one thing, and she does it 2 weeks later, she does it again. And well, it's not long before he's thinking, well, now, wait a minute, this is kind of one-sided. You know, why don't you give me a suggestion on how I could be a better husband?
And that's what you wanted in the first place, right? Well, it really is amazing what can happen in a relationship when you take that first step toward positive change. Now, you can thrive even more with trusted advice that you'll find at focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
I want to encourage you, if you have a Christian business, you have any business, and you want to stand with us, we really want to get together with you. We love promoting those that love to stand for God, country, and Israel. And we want to give you that opportunity to do so. And we also want you, like you were talking about a little while ago, Greg, to visit some of our sponsors. These are wonderful people. I got a chance to meet all of them and meet with them and know their heart. But we have sponsors. If you need a vehicle, you can visit Glenn Parker. I mean, if you're looking to rent or buy a home, you want to talk to Mark Downey. I mean,
Mark Downey Associates. He is the man and his team.
Yeah, they're excellent. You have a great meal. You want to go visit Auntie's out in Cantonment Barbecue.
The taste of Southern soul.
There's so many wonderful places and so many great sponsors.
Her food is so good. I was sitting there having her food. I can tell you. This man came in, he's going to have his first ribs off of her smoker. And I said, I looked at him, remember? And I said, can I watch you take your first bite? Right?
Yeah.
And I turned my head and I missed his first bite. But he came back later and he says, they was good. That's Auntie's, right?
Auntie's.
Off of Highway 29.
A taste of Southern soul.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. I want to talk about the gospel of all. I mean, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but as you look at society, it just seems like there is a culture that just has emerged of halfway, like not doing anything completely. Mm-hmm. You would almost say like, this culture today doesn't understand the word commitment. You know, it means I'll just give it a try, just enough. And they even bring this type of a mindset into their relationship with God. I mean, you actually hear it being shared, not even by people that don't know God. It's like even the church at times has said, will just give Jesus a try. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you today that you don't give Jesus a try. You don't try Jesus like you would try a diet. You don't try Jesus as you would try a new place to shop or, you know, to exercise. You don't try Jesus. You give everything for him. And there is an understanding, if you will, that there's no need, you know. A partial commitment is okay because a partial commitment is better than no commitment. I mean, that's the kind of the lie and the idea. A partial, you know, hey, they're not all the way, but you know, at least they are, you know. No, understand that that's not what Jesus ever said, and that there is a gospel of all. And God loves that word. As I was just kind of reading about, you know, some scriptures and kind of seeing it, really just kind of jumped out to me. But Matthew 16:16 says this. He said to them, go into all the world, not part of the world, but all the world, and to preach the good news to all creation. That kind of says a lot there, because the word all means everything, everyone, not leaving anything out or overlooked or incomplete. It means all. All, everything. And so Jesus said, go everywhere and tell everyone about him. And the thing is, you know, have we done that and are we doing that? And he loves the word. Think about it. Another scripture says, love the Lord God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength and with all of your mind. Could it be that we have been trying to attempt to love God or to worship God with part of our heart? He says, love me with all. He gives us a strategy. It takes everything. He says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, Jeremiah 29:13. Malachi 3:10 says, bring all of the tithe into the storehouse so that there will be blessing and enough food in my temple, all. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And Matthew, these are the words of Jesus. John the Baptist says, look at the Lamb of God who takes away all the sin of the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine if Jesus just took partial sin. This list has these, the ones that he covered, but those don't fall under this provision. That sin right there, you're in trouble. No, Jesus came to take away all of the sin. That's right. That means anything that you even have done in your life, because you think that the lie of the enemy would be that, oh, see, Jesus will, but that thing right there, he won't forgive that. No, everything. Everything you could have thought, said, or done, Jesus has paid the price with his blood. It's amazing to me. And the thing about it is that God gives his all. He doesn't reserve anything back from us. He is 100% all in. He's in. And God is sold out for us, and the expectation is that we need to be sold out for him. We don't give him a try. We don't partially give it a wing. We say no. Everywhere in the gospel, it's a radical commitment to Jesus. You got to be willing to leave everything. You got to be willing to count the cost, because there's going to be a cost and there's going to be a price. You got to be willing to pay it all.
Right.
That's the type of allegiance. Who wants to listen when you preach that type of a gospel that requires everything? People rise up to that. But when you say that you can give Jesus a try, well, he'll always be there. And that's the idea that people have. Well, I can get with Jesus because he loves me. You know, he'll wait for me. Mm-hmm. But Bible says that God's spirit will not always contend with man. And a fool, tomorrow is written in a fool's calendar. All you and I have, all we have is today.
That's right.
You may not have tomorrow. Ephesians 1:3 says, praise be to God, the Father, because the Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every, every spiritual blessing. He's given us everything that we need. And when I think about that, I go, my goodness, God, you are amazing. And there's something about somebody who gives all. See, all recognizes all. There's something about who you are, your makeup, that you can recognize that in somebody else. An integrous person can recognize integrity. A person who works hard can understand and see a hard worker. They can see that. They don't have to talk about it. They know that. And Jesus is the same way. Because he gave all, he can recognize all. I mean, I think about the widow's offering. You know, Jesus is in this temple, the synagogue, and he's watching this unfold. You know, I love the Gospels. I encourage you, stay in the words of Jesus. It's amazing how there's a notion that, you know, when people first come to God, they say, hey, get in the Gospels, read the Scriptures, and there's an idea that, you know, once you become more mature in God, that you go into the epistles and the Paul's letters and Paul's writings, and, you know, you've outgrown the Gospels. And I want to tell you that Paul mostly wrote about the church, but Jesus wrote about the kingdom. You know, all the other rest of the New Testament, that's theology based upon what Jesus taught, what Jesus lived. There are amazing truths in what he said and what he lived by. And so Jesus is sitting in the temple, and he's watching all the rich people give out of their wealth. And they're bringing these large offerings, and he's watching. Understand that Jesus watched then, he's still watching today. He sees everything. He has that x-ray vision that sees right into your heart, you know? So he only not sees your actions, but he sees what you're doing in the midst of that. And then he sees this woman who comes up in the midst of everyone that's giving these large offerings and these large gifts. She comes up there with two copper pennies that are only worth a fraction of a penny. Not a penny, a fraction of a penny. And Jesus, in that moment, you can imagine he's hitting the other apostle disciples with his elbow. Look at this. Do you see this? And they go, what?
Missed it.
What?
Not a clue.
And he says, look at, he's talking in church, you know. Look at this. Look at this. What? All recognized all, the all in him. He says, look, this woman gave all that she had to live on. All recognized all. And in that moment, he says, that's it.
She's committed.
That's it. She had everything she had to live on. Jesus marvels at that. When I look in the scriptures and I see that everywhere else we see Jesus seated at the throne of God. But when Stephen gets stoned in the book of Acts, Stephen sees dimly in the sky. He sees as he's getting pelted with stones and rocks in his head. That's one of the most brutal ways to die, which they still do in the Middle East. They stone people. You imagine being pelted in your head with rocks until you die and you're buried on the mountain of rocks? He looks up into the heavens and sees one who is standing by the throne. I mean, Jesus stands. He recognizes all. He stands for the martyr who's being persecuted. And he wants you to give him his whole heart. Jesus is calling us to lay down our lives for him. He requires everything. He says, anyone who's a father or mother or houses or family, everything for me, listen, your reward is not only great in this kingdom but in the one to come. I want to encourage you today to surrender all, to give everything you have. No partial commitments, no halfways. Don't try, Jesus. You give Jesus your heart 100% and watch what God will do in your life. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, when I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, the Lord, our God, that when he was with his people, we could read the Word of God,
And he shows us, he demonstrated his ability to provide for his people in the wilderness. The first thing he did when he delivered Israel out of bondage and slavery was to take them in a place that they had to totally see that he was going to provide for them no matter what. They were surrounded by conditions with no water and no provision, and they just had to trust God. They had to abide with God. And think about that. And God demonstrated his ability to meet their needs despite what was going on in their economy, in their ecology, with their environment, with the heat and the weather and all that. As a matter of fact, listen to Brother John Kilpatrick with Church of His Presence, and I'll be right back.
And the other day, the Holy Spirit said this to me. He said, tell the church, son, when you get back up to preach, he said, tell the church that these things are going to get worse. He said, but tell them, for those that will live by my word, it'll have no effect on them whatsoever. He said, it'll have no effect on them. And what the Holy Spirit here is saying is, what the Holy Spirit is saying is, even though the economy, like what prophets are saying right now, is that there may be some states in the United States that might be not friendly toward Israel, or they might be real liberal, and they're going to start suffering financially.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
And there might be other states in the United States that loves Israel and loves God, and they're a God-fearing state, and they have a good governor and good legislature, and they're trying to please God, and they're just going to prosper and get all kinds of new businesses and everything. The Holy Spirit said, just as that's working like sheep states and goat states in the United States, he said the same thing's going to happen in a city, that whoever tithes and obeys me and loves me and serves me, I will pour out my favor on them and my blessings upon them. And nothing can thwart my blessings on these people. They're going to be a demonstration to everyone around them what it means to be a child of God. So I want to encourage you right now in Jesus' name, God is about to bless your socks off right under the devil's nose.
That's so encouraging. That's exactly what, you know, that God's been sharing with us. That's what we're hearing from Rick Joyner and Morningstar Ministries, and those are hearing from the Lord. Listen, don't panic. You're about to be a sign. You're about to be a wonder if you're abiding with God. Jesus said very specifically in John 15, 5 through 7, he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, or abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Think about this. He says, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Just like God provided for Israel in the wilderness, the manna that came down in the morning, the shade, and when everybody else is hot, they were covered. God's going to take care of you if you stick with God. You begin to abide with him. If you don't know how to abide with him, you want to begin to abide with him. You know Jesus, but you want to abide, learn how. We have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today. Listen, if you're walking in obedience and abiding with the Lord, hearing his voice, relating to him, he's got you covered. That's iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we're talking about the gospel of all. Mm-hmm. No halfways. We don't preach a gospel that says give Jesus a try. Try him out. Take this car for a spin.
All right.
But no, Jesus is not taking applications. He's taking commitments. And yes, it's going to require everything of you. It's going to require you to change your life in drastic ways. But he is worth every bit of it. He is the great price. He's everything. And I think about that. Because so many people into the culture, they waver. They think they can have everything. They think that they can just throw themselves at it. You know, they enter marriage and they don't understand that they're making a life commitment. Mm-hmm. It's a commitment. And you stick, you stay, and you stand. And it costs you everything. Mm-hmm. Cost you everything.
That's right.
And so there comes a time where you recognize and say, you know, no halfways. I think about this song, this hymn that, you know, was written many, many years ago by a man by the name of Judson Van Deventer was his name. But for five years, God was calling him into the ministry. And He also was an accomplished singer and composer and different things going on in his life. But for 5 years, he was determining whether he was going to obey God and give him all.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And finally, he came to a breaking point and said, okay, I'm going to give up whatever I'm doing. And I'm going to give my life to you. I'm going to serve you, whatever that means, whatever that costs me. There's a lot of people right now that they're afraid of the cost. They have bought into the American dream. Mm-hmm. See, that's a lie. They bought into the American dream that you're supposed to have a 401k, that you're supposed to have a white picket fence, that you deserve 2 vacations a year, that you need 2-3 vehicles, that you got to have the latest and greatest toys because, you know, that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And that's not what it's all about. You know, that you have to have this career, that you have to have all this. Mm-hmm. You know what you have to have? You have to have Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think that we fail sometimes in telling people that they have a destiny and you got a career and all this type of stuff. And we prepare them. We say, listen, this is what you need to figure out first thing in your life. Give your life to Jesus 100%. Build your own personal life on him. And everything that emerges out of that, whether that's a marriage, whether that's a job, whether that's a ministry, whether that's a home, whatever emerges out of that relationship is what God has blessed you with, and you keep it in perspective. Mm-hmm. But when you focus your perspective on this American dream, it's not the gospel dream. It's not God requires everything. And so this man wrote this song, I Surrender All. That's what he wrote. After 5 years of just wrestling and I guess disobeying God, if you will, mm-hmm. he finally surrendered and said, you know, that's it, I'm going to do it. And the song says, all to Jesus I surrender, mm-hmm. all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. And just goes on to say, you know, all these things. Says, all to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me Jesus, take me now. And that's what you're doing. You're saying, I'm not taking anything in this world. There's nothing else that can satisfy me outside of God. Mm-hmm. And I am like Jesus and him alone. Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes me think about like what you're saying as far as just that full commitment. I remember reading, there's a Christian author. His name is John Eldridge. And he had shared a story when he was raising his boys. And every night before they would go to bed, his boys would stand on the stairs. And he would stand at the bottom of the stairs. And they would jump in his arms. And he writes how much it was ministering to him, because he was seeing their vulnerability and their commitment to him, mm-hmm. is that they would get more and more boldness and more confidence in their father. And they would get higher and higher and higher, even at such a young age. They were like 5-6 years old, to the point that they'd get at the top of the stairs. They would run. Now, I'm not encouraging this. I mean, I don't have kids. I can't imagine this.
I do it now.
But they would run and jump from the top of the stairs into their father's arms.
Wow.
And that to me, it's like, I've always loved watching children and their fathers. Like, you look at children at a pool, mm-hmm. and the dad will be in the water coaxing them. Come on, bud. Come on, you know, jump. I'll catch you. And you can see their feet on the edge, and you can see them going through their own calculations of like, I don't know how this is
going to
work.
Is he really going to catch me?
Yeah. How serious is this man? Is he going to catch me? Does he know that I can't swim? But there's that moment when they realize, like, okay, I've got to jump. Mm-hmm. And when they make that step, it's not like, okay, I'm going to try my dad out. I've got to jump.
Yeah.
And what's so powerful is just like, you know, the devil wants you to get caught up in remembering what's happened in your life, that, yeah, I've tried to jump, but this happened and this happened. And well, this person did this. And you look and you get focused on those hurts or those letdowns. It's just like, Jesus is not going to let you down. He is going to catch you. You've got to be able to take that jump, just like that 5-year-old, just like John Andrew's little boys, or just like those little boys in a pool, and make that full step commitment jump into the arms of Jesus and watch him catch you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. man, it's amazing that, you know, you say that. I've done that with my boys and doing it with my 4-year-old daughter now. And I do that on the kitchen counter. And they can stand on there and they'll go further back. And she goes, oh, no, I got you. And she does, and I could see all the processes that she goes through. But oftentimes when we're thinking about jumping, you remember those old Tarzan vine things where Tarzan mm-hmm. used to swing on the vine and mm-hmm. then, you know, catch the next one. Oftentimes we're looking to, you know, have one hand on one vine and waiting to catch the other one before you transition. And God's wanting you to go, oh, let go in the middle of that vine being launched, trusting and believing that another one is coming your way, and you just you catch it midair.
Well, that's where the difference is, because you can't do it in your head. It's all by faith.
There you go.
You know, Hebrews says the fact that faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it was John G. Lake that said, when you step out in bold faith, God's going to meet you there every time. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. It's just like in a previous program, we were talking about Tim Tebow. He says, I don't know what my future holds. But when you know the one who holds your future, that's a great way to live life, because you know the fact that I'm not the one in control.
Yeah.
I can take that step even when I don't have everything figured out, because that's when you're able to live in freedom. Because it's like, as soon as you don't know something, that's when you get frustrated, or that's when you get worried. Yeah. But you can just let it go and just be like, you know what? God's holding the earth right now. I'm pretty sure he's holding me together just fine.
Yeah. A lot of the two big motivations that cause people to do anything in their life is a desire of gain or a fear of loss. And you'd be so surprised, or maybe not be surprised, that most people are controlled by a fear of loss than they are by the desire of gain. And so, you know, if you're constantly, because there's going to be a price to pay, constantly, you know, looking at the cost, then you're not going to do the jumping that you're talking about, Steve.
Yeah.
You got to set your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. And the Hebrew, I believe it's Hebrew, says that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. Mm-hmm. See, he had his eyes on the prize. He was able to look at the future and look at everything and say, I can go through this. Mm-hmm. And at the end, because you get through it, at the end you realize, man, this is all good. This is good. God's calling for those commitments. He's calling us to say, and if you're just coming to God, or looking to give him everything, it could seem scary. It could seem, oh my goodness. Listen, put your eyes on God. He's worth it all. But you have to make radical decisions in your life. If you want God to take you to a place you've never been, then you must be willing to do something you've never done. Give him your heart completely, 100%, and watch and experience what God will do in your life. God's calling you higher. Maybe he's calling you into the ministry. Listen, give him everything. Serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all of your strength. And when you give God all, believe me, you will know it, he will know it, and you'll live a rewarded, blessed life. It's the only way to be. Don't try him out. He's not taking applications. He is only taking commitments.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Do you know there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America? The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down, the give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
to encourage you to live your life with no regrets in regards to God, because we're all going to face the Lord. We're going to say, you know, he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you, what I entrusted to you? And you can actually, on your own, despite everybody else, you can say, you know what, I'm going to live my life with no regrets when it comes to God. I'm just going to do it. And the thing about the difficult thing when you do that, a lot of people don't understand they're going to have regrets. So there's a little conflict sometimes with people who are going to have a lot of regrets. So somebody says, I don't want to have regrets. I want to use this life for God, this moment, this vapor in time. And everybody says, you know, in the end of their life, no matter what they say two things, two simple things. They say, go call the pastor. What's his name again? So they say, right. What's his name? You know, because I want him to pray for me, right? Because the last moment, you know, we get that prayer in. And then they say, I wish I would have done more for my family because I'm about to leave them. And the next regret they have, they say, I wish I would have done more for God because I'm about to see him. Mm-hmm. Think about it. You're about to see God. And the truth is, it might not happen in old age. It could happen today. Are you going to make a choice to say, you know, I want to live my life with no regrets. I want to be able to say, I want to eliminate tomorrow's regrets today by saying, you know what? I'm going to redefine family again and quit making it narcissistic about my biological connectivity and say, the family of God, I want to do for the family of God. God says he's not unjust. He will not forget the love you have shown him as you help his people and continue to help them. This is how we love God. We love each other. And then we stand before God. You know, I poured it all out. There's nothing left. I mean, you know, I worked that one brain cell to death, you know, but, we took anyway, but you, whatever it is,
yeah,
just lay it all out for God. So when you know, when you meet the Lord, I mean, obviously, we're, you know, that is probably stuff we didn't even think about, but whatever we knew to do, we did
right
unto God. And it's like, you know, that's a precious gift. That's a once in a lifetime, eternal lifetime to be able to have, to be able to give. And I could imagine showing up at the throne room of God. I mean, thank God the Lord gave me more life that I was able to start living life without yes. regret. But you could show up and it's like, yeah, you know, I watched cable. I robbed you. I couldn't tithe. But I did say a prayer. And are we in? I mean, right. what are you going to say, right? Right,
exactly.
What are you going to say at a moment like that? I encourage you to get involved with what God is doing today. Maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Join in someone who takes walking with God eternally serious.
I am Greg Lancaster. I'm looking at a freshly shaved Pat over here.
Very fresh.
How are you doing today?
Lighter.
My day's tomorrow. My day's tomorrow. They are getting new string for the weed eater. And
dude, I was so desperate. I actually let somebody else do it because my lady wasn't there.
That's desperate.
I was desperate.
Did you let Tracy cut it?
No. Older lady. I don't think she could see real good.
Bless her heart.
I got like a hole here, hole here.
No, it's called humility.
And I got
What's
a scar.
God saying?
And a scar.
I'm just saying. What's that's happening? Right. Yeah, right. I think we have scars in all the same places.
Same exact places. On my shin, on my head.
Everything you said about me, right?
Oh, Lord, I repent.
I'm smart. You know, I'm intelligent.
That's right.
So say some stuff. Say some positive stuff.
There you go.
That's all I know, right?
You can't even think.
I'm smart and intelligent.
And beautiful.
The audience is shouting, he's beautiful too. He's beautiful. He's beautiful too.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. Steve, talk to us about words, the power of words. Mm-hmm. They matter, don't they?
They do. They do. You know, I've just been really just thinking about a lot of the things that you hear just in your daily life, and I started to hear just some kind of things that were starting to get repetitious, and I was just really thinking about it. And you hear it on commercials every now and then, how someone will say, like, you know, the one and only place, you know, to find whatever it is that you're looking for, the one and only. You know, you hear it on, you know, sports, you know, when they're introducing somebody in the ring or wherever. And I even hear it amongst friends, you know, in the workplace, you know, they'll introduce somebody and it's just like, you know, the one and only. And it's just like, where do we get that from? And it just got me to thinking, and I just came across, and when you read in John, is that it's not just a figure of speech. It's not just something that you hear on a commercial. You know, when you read in John 1, it talks about the fact that of who Jesus is.
Uh-oh, come on.
Who is this Jesus? You know, and there's thousands of people in Iran asking this question, is who is this Jesus? Mm-hmm. And it says, from the fullness of his grace, we have all, I love it, all. We've all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. And that was just so jumped and so encouraged me, because it's just like, it is all about Jesus. The one and only is Jesus. Mm. This whole life is about Jesus. And we're talking about in a previous program about the gospel of all. And it's just like everything in the Old Testament was prophesying and talking about foreshadowing what was to come, Jesus. And when you read about the New Testament, it's talking about who Jesus is and the one and only. Mm-hmm. And we've also talked about the fact recently, it's just like a lot of people can have you point and focus on the law, or focus on, I got to do all these things. And it's just like, yeah, but it was Jesus that brought the grace to carry that out. He came to draw all men to himself. He is the one and only. And it's just like, it's only by Jesus that we're drawn to Jesus. Mm. It's only by Jesus that we can come to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it's only the grace through Jesus that we can walk with Jesus. And it just really got me focusing on, is just like, no, Jesus is the one and only.
Yeah.
And it's just like, how awesome is he? And it's just like being able to remember and turn our eyes and focus. And it's just like when we recognize Jesus for who he is, that he's the one and only, it's going to help us to relate more to him when we have that abiding time, when we're spending time with him. And it's just like all of creation focuses on him.
Yeah.
Anything that can sing brings him praise, sings his name. And it's just like focusing on him, that we can take that moment and join in with heaven and just sing his praise and worship. And it's just like, you are the one and only. Mm. And it's just like, so often we don't realize the words that we say. We don't realize what that really means. And it's just like, there's only one. You know, you can read about this in Revelation, how he talks about the fact that he is taking the scroll, and it's like the title deed to earth. And it's just like, there's no one that's worthy. No one that's worthy, but there's one, a lamb, the one, the only. And those who have said yes to Jesus Christ have defined their life, and there was that definitive moment when they encountered the one. And it's just like, do you know the one and only? Has your life been transformed? Has your life changed because you've encountered the one and the only?
Mm. That's amazing. Revelation 5 says, then I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside of it. I wept and wept. This is John the Revelator. He's seeing this. Because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. He has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. And then he said, I saw a lamb looking as if he had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by four living creatures and the elders. And the Lamb of God, he's the one. He's mm-hmm. the one that you're saying. He's the one and only. He's the worthy one. And when we get an understanding, when we get full of the awe and the majesty and the supremacy of who God is, See, we've lost that. We've lost the awe.
Mm-hmm.
We fail to recognize his holiness. We fail to recognize, you know, whose presence we're in. You know, oftentimes when you look at just a simple human being like the Queen of England, there is protocol to this day to, in which is a figurehead. She has no authority in England, mm-hmm. but there is a protocol to how to approach her that they even tell presidents, they tell other dignitaries when they come visit her, mm-hmm. how to present yourself when you come see her, and that when you leave, when you're done meeting with the Queen of England, you don't turn your back and walk out. My understanding is you back up. You don't extend your hand to her first. You wait till she extends her hands to you first.
Wow.
There is a protocol when you understand that there is majesty. Imagine the protocol of heaven when we are in awe of who he is. Like you're saying, the one and only, we can worship him. And this is what happens when the majesty of God is returned back to us. When the holiness of God is returned back to us, that revelation, we grow in the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. We grow in the fear of the Lord, and we say, holy is the Lamb. We recognize he's the only one who can carry that title,
mm-hmm.
the one and only.
Yeah, and that's what the powerful thing is, like you're saying, is that when we understand, okay, there's a way that we recognize the Queen, and it's just like the words, the one and only, has been just so spread out over the world, and like you're saying, but when we have to get back to that, that is one of his names. One of Jesus' names is the one and only. And what is even more powerful is that you caught his eye.
Mm.
Is like the one and only that sits upon the throne is thinking about you. And it's just like, what?
Yeah.
And he wants to know you. He wants to know your name. And it's just like, he wants to have you in his presence. He wants to draw you into himself. And it's just like getting caught up in that. It's just like, I just want more of that one and only.
Yeah, because oftentimes people would love the opportunity to, and they pay thousands and thousands of dollars just to have access to be in the same room with the president of the United States. They'll pay $20,000, $30,000 for a plate dinner just to say that they were in a room with a president. But God gives you the opportunity, free of charge, to come into his presence.
Mm-hmm.
I read somewhere it said, he who kneels before God can stand up to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And God has an open door policy that you can seek him, he'll be found. He tells you that if you draw close to him, he will draw close to you. He gives you an invitation in Matthew, Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. And Isaiah, he tells you, come, those who are thirsty, because I have waters. Listen, he wants to, he's the living water on the inside of you that wants to just bubble up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, the one and only has a plan for your life, and you can make a decision today to say, I'm going to serve him and him alone. Listen, don't get distracted by anything in this world that will pull you away from God. Understand that he's holy, he's majestic, and that he loves you and that he died for your sins. And he's looking for you to recognize him as the only one and the only thing that you need. He's it. When you make him your sole desire and your sole passion, everything in your life will change. Do it today. Recognize the one and only King Jesus. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.